For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to Commanding the Huddle. I am your host, Ryan Fowler. Happy to be joined today by one of the more intriguing stories in the entire 2024 NFL Draft. That is Antonio Alfano from Lackawanna College in Scranton, Pennsylvania. One of the most athletic, dynamic edge rushers that you're going to find and that you need to know more about in the 2024 NFL Draft here in April coming up in Detroit. Antonio, first things first, man. Appreciate you joining me. And how's this pre-draft process been for you here over these last few months?
It's been good. It's been definitely a new process for me, after being recruited at a high school and then the JUCO level. It's a new thing that, how to get accustomed to. But, now it's, strictly football. And, that's something I obviously love. I just get to focus in and hone in on my game and, get ready for the next level. So it's been good.
Antonio, for those out there, man, that are unfamiliar with your background, take me into your high school recruiting process. For those out there, I'm going to provide as much detail as I can before you go into it, Antonio. But look, Antonio, number one recruit in high school in the 2019 class, a class that include guys like Derek Stingley, N'Kobe Dean, Trayvon Walker. Obviously, you commit to Nick Saban's program down there in Alabama. Take me into your high school recruiting process, man. There's not a lot of guys on this earth that can call themselves a number one recruit coming out of high school. Take me into that process for you and ultimately what led to your decision to learn to commit to Nick Saban's program down there in Tuscaloosa.
Of course. So, the recruiting process is fun. I got to go through with my family. Since my first offer in eighth grade, my family and I received great treatment from various Power Five programs across the country. Like, for example, early on in my junior year, Nick Saban actually flew to New Jersey to come have dinner with me and my family at my house. And, that was a pretty, pretty big deal, along with, the mayor of my town even came and stuff like that to meet Coach Saban. So, that was pretty nice. And, we got to meet a lot of nice people along the way. And then later on down the line in my collegiate career, I was able to connect with some of these people I had met. And, after all, I committed to play at Alabama. And I just wanted to be coached by the best and play against the best week in, week out. And there was no better place to do it, by being coached by the best, probably arguably one of the best coaches of all time in Nick Saban at Alabama. So. That was kind of like a no-brainer for me.
Antonio, man, I know for a lot of guys out there, the transfer portal, going from level to level, school to school, conference to conference, is just a big part of collegiate sports nowadays and not just football. Take me through your journey a little bit, going from obviously from Alabama now in the JUCO ranks. Obviously, it's a little bit different, even just how you approach things off the field as well. Take me a little bit into your collegiate journey and how that's helped you evolve, not only as a player, but as a young man as well.
Of course. So, I was heavily recruited at high school. I committed to play at Alabama. I actually graduated high school early and enrolled in Alabama in January of 2019. I played that spring season there. I played in the spring game at A-Day where I had two sacks. following semester, I was dealing with some mental health issues after my late grandmother who passed away. She basically raised me the majority of my life. So, you know, with all of that and all of the media attention I was getting with the heavy press and receiving praise heaped on early in my life and my career, you know, that was kind of led to my decision entering the transfer portal and committing to the University of Colorado, where I was recruited by Mel Tucker, who also had a heavy influence on me when he was in Georgia, because yeah. Georgia finished in my top three when I was in high school. So he kind of had a connection, kind of had a good relationship, and that was why I kind of ended up making that decision. And I was able to play under Coach Tucker for about 2 months before he left to go to Penn State. And a new coach was hired within about like 3 days, Coach Carl Durrell. And after about a week of him being hired, I had my first epileptic seizure. And at this point, there was no knowledge of me having epilepsy or ever having seizures in my life. So a week after that, we actually went into COVID shutdown. And during this time, the team doctor was telling me that due to COVID, I wasn't able to get tested for my epilepsy, even though, like, some of them, I was having them so frequently and they were kind of, like, not really controlled because, again, we didn't know what kind of epilepsy I had, so there was no medication to treat it. And so almost a year had went by, actually, 11 months exactly, and I hadn't gotten tested. And I wasn't able to play football. I wasn't able to work out with the team or go run with the team, nothing, and I was still kind of getting the same answers. So I went to social media explaining my medical condition, and soon after, the athletic director had reached out and to help me get tested right away. After the test, I was medically cleared to play, and about a month later, I wasn't allowed to work out or practice yet, so I wanted to meet with head coach Carl Durrell to, you know, kind of get word of what was going on.
Right.
And so, respectfully, you know, he kind of told me that up front that he would rather recruit someone that he could build a relationship with and recruiting to play right away, because they were still quote unquote unsure of my medical condition if I was going to be medically cleared to play by the fall season. So he basically told me it was a business and, you know, he has to, you know, do what he has to do. And that was that. So it was a little bit confusing because I was medically cleared to play, but I just kind of felt like, you know, they just kind of wanted to move on. So immediately after I left that office, I started looking at options, and I found out I had to go to JUCO. Then there wasn't even a question at that point because I hadn't played football or had pads on for over a year, and I just wanted to run wild and hit someone. So I got in touch with Independence Pirates in Kansas, and I flew there within days. And I was there for about a year, and I finally got a chance to play some football. But I never had a chance to play in their fall scheduled season due to the lack of medication for my epilepsy, because the doctors and pharmacies were about 3 hours away. We were in a very remote location in Kansas in the bottom right-hand corner, so it was kind of hard to get – not kind of hard. It was very hard to get just even groceries, because Walmart was an hour away from us.
Wow.
So with that being said, I came back closer to home to get closer to family and have availability to get medication I needed, and I chose Lackawanna College in Scranton to play for. After completing my spring semester there, I played in the fall, and I was extremely humbled to be given the number one defensive player in JUCO per 24/7 Sports following high school, and also had scholarships from almost every Power 5 program in the country as well. So, you know, JUCO and recruiting aspect and all that football always went very well for me. But all in all, the experience at JUCO, man, it was, you know, for being at the top and having the best facilities, the best training staffs and coaching staffs and strength coaches and whatnot, to going to JUCO and having none of that, you know, sometimes you went to sleep hungry, you woke up early to practice, there was no treatment or barely any, if there was. You know, it was truly every man for themselves. If you wanted to make it out, you had to set yourself apart. And that made me appreciate the game, love the game, and view it from a whole new perspective. I got to hear a lot of people's stories from all over the country about how they got to JUCO, and realized everyone has a story to tell. Some are written and recorded in history, and so people could tell your story, but some stories are forgotten about, and all you have to do is write it. And that's not easy, but it's all about consistency, persistency, and an obsession to be great. it humbled me as a person completely and helped me become closer to God and find myself as a person.
I love to hear that. I love to hear that, Antonio. Man, I would love to dive into your game. I know we talked a lot about behind the scenes as far as what got you to certain places. Well, let's talk some ball, man. Obviously, you're a guy that can play up and down the defensive line, the tape at Lackawanna, or even turn on the tape back in New Jersey in high school. Obviously, a dominant athlete. I know that's years ago, but obviously, you still got a lot of that still pop in you. And obviously, now as you're working to potentially, you know, the NFL here in these next couple months. For those out there that have been able to check out your game, man, what are teams going to get in a guy like Antonio Alfano, not only when you're strapped up along the defensive line, but also as a leader in the locker room as well?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, I've always loved the game of football. I actually wrestled in high school too. So that was actually my first love because I started wrestling first. But then when I found football, and, you know, I found out, you know, you can run full speed and hit somebody and you can't get in trouble for it.
Right, like, right.
You know, there was something that I just clicked right there for me. And, you know, ever since then, I had this unwavering love for the game. And, you know, I put my heart and my body into every play. That's something that, you know, I think a lot of guys I've noticed from the D1 level all the way down to the JUCO level that, you know, they really appreciate because, you know, that's something I know me as a football player, too. I appreciate a guy that's playing hard right beside me. And, you know, I'm not trying to be boast about myself, but to me, I think I'm a very good athlete. I hope to showcase that on my pro day. But I also believe I have a lot of very high football IQ. And with that being said, I hold my teammates very accountable because, you know, just like me, I'm supposed to know what I'm doing every single play, just like you're supposed to know what you're doing every single play. And I give you an example. Let's say I'm supposed to stun inside. I'm a five technique and I'm going from the from the C gap to the B gap, and I know I have a linebacker coming off the edge or a defensive back coming off the edge to, you know, hold that C gap or seal that C gap. You know, I'm going to hold him accountable and make sure he holds that C gap because, you know, if something else happens, you know, that's something we have to work on or tweak in practice because, you know, I'm expecting you to do your job just like you're expecting me to do my job and hold my gap just so he doesn't bounce up in the C gap. So that's something that I would say that's like a leadership mindset that I have.
Antonio, take me a little bit more into how you prep for games, right? I know obviously there's a lot of success starts on the field, right? But beyond the field, in meeting rooms, in tape, things that you do by yourself, things that you do obviously with the guys around you, the 10 other guys on the defensive side of the ball, as you mentioned, and with that leadership role that you take, obviously starts beyond the football field. So take me into just a little bit, maybe your film study, things that you look at, whether it's a guard, whether it's a tackle, it's their footwork in the run game, or things that you see from snap to snap, man, that it helps you along the defensive line, right along the trenches, win a rep before the ball is ever snapped.
Of course. So, I mean, like I was saying, I have high football IQ, so I watch a lot of film, it doesn't have to be my games. It's just games of the NFL or good players. But personally, if I'm watching a game, like let's say I have a game coming up next weekend and I'm watching film for it, I pay a lot of attention to player personnel. Whether it be 11 personnel or 10 personnel,
yeah,
and they, let's say, have 65% chance to pass out of both, well, then I know I can let loose and kind of pin my ears back and go get after the quarterback because, you know, that's a higher chance of them passing. So, you know, that's what I could expect. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, things can happen, whatever the case is, but that's kind of something I know just so you can play more freely. And also pay attention to, like, you know, like you were saying before, I can pretty much play every position along the defensive line. So I pay attention to pretty much from the center to the right tackle, left tackle. I pay attention to every single one. If they have, like, for example, if they're shooting with high hands or they have low hands, if they're a puncher, if they're a grabber, if they're a two-hand puncher, if they're a one-hand puncher, if they're one of those guys that, you know, have those one huge kick steps with, you know, they kind of sit back a little more, lighter on their feet, or one of those guys that has more of a quick set, you know, a guy that you want to beat with a move right now instead of, you know, worrying about getting off the ball hard and getting to him as fast as possible. And then also, I mean, last but not least, which is also important to me, is alignment. I mean, alignment to me depends on your communication with your teammates and the other, like you said, the other 10 guys around me, and especially getting them in practice reps. because, you know, when you're blitzing and you're slanting, you know, sometimes, you know, you're going to run it one way. It's on paper one way, but, you know, in game or in practice, you might turn around and look at the linebacker or the DB and say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to line up here to kind of get them to think, let's say, going outside, but, you know, I'm really going to go inside, just so he knows, like, you know, we're on the same page and he can still come and have a free lane to rush. So things like that, just communication with your teammates and, you know, practice reps and making sure everything's flowing the right way that we want it to flow. And then, like I was saying about just watching film, player personnel, and watching offensive lines technique and stuff.
Antonio, if you were to self-scout yourself as far as along the defensive line, whether you're playing the one, the three, the five, the four eye, heck, if you're aligned at the zero right in front of the center, how would you classify yourself as a pass rusher specifically? Are you a guy that wants to win primarily with speed, with your hands? You will try to win with power, a little bit of combination? How would you describe yourself as a pass rusher and really your pass rush portfolio, if you will?
So I'm a long guy. I have really long arms, and my get off is something I really hone in on, because that's something that's always been my thing. And whether it be five to the nose, something that it's always worked for me. And what I've noticed is speed to power. So I'd come off the ball really, really hard. And just because of my length and how I could a long arm tackle or come off the ball and kind of switch it up, go from, let's say, power to speed, you know, kind of throws a lot of guys off. And like I was saying, with my length and my get off, that's just something that's worked really, really well for me. I like to watch Nate Bosa a lot, and his specialty, speed to power, gets off the ball, gets to the lineman as soon as possible, kind of make sure he has that edge, but he has two hands on the lineman, driving them back consistently, and, you know, eventually gets there. So that's something that's always worked for me, and, you know, that's definitely something I'm focusing in on working up towards the draft.
It's a perfect segue, Antonio, to my next question, man. I appreciate that, making my job easy on me, man. Look, who are some guys maybe out there that, other than Nick Bosa, maybe that you look at, and obviously you have your own skill set, right? You do your own things well. But are there some guys, other than a guy like Nick Bosa in the NFL, maybe active or inactive, that you look at and you try to pull certain things from their game? Maybe it's setting the edge in the run, or it's certain things that they can do up and down the defensive line, because as you know, versatility is king on either side of the ball in the NFL. So who are some guys, Antonio, that you do study at the NFL level and pull some things from their game here and there along the defensive line?
Of course. So, I mean, Lawrence Taylor, I mean, there's a lot to watch on him, but it's just I watch him just for the tenacity, kind of almost makes you love the game at a different level, just right, the way he plays the game. And him and Micah Parsons are kind of two of those guys that you just watch and you're just like, hell yeah, like that's a dude I want to be around. That's who I want to, you know, model your game after. Just flying around the field like a maniac, making tackles all over the field, just causing havoc. I feel like that's what a defensive player should do. Obviously, and Nick Bosa is in there. Aaron Donald, he just retired. You cannot not watch Aaron Donald after, like, a defensive lineman.
Right,
his
right.
His technique is just insane. Eric Armstead, he kind of, I would say, has a pretty, not similar because he's a bit bigger than me, but he plays with a lot of power moves, has a lot of tools in his bag that I like to watch some plays that he does and the way he lines up sometimes. Even all the way down to there's a guy on the you probably know who he is, Alex Highsmith on the Steelers.
Yeah.
His technique is whether it be he can go from speed to power or he was hitting with a plain speed rush, but his technique is really polished and it's really nice. So I just pay attention to guys when they hit good moves and stuff like that to try to add it to my game and things like that.
Absolutely. Look, Antonio, a couple more for you, man, before we get you out of here. We talked about your game. When you're on the field, you're all strapped up. But what do you like to do off the field, man? We all got lives right away from football in this thing. But what are some things you like to do? You like to hunt? You're a gaming guy? You like to cook? What are some things that you get into off the field?
I'm definitely an outdoors person. I like to go to parks. I love nice views. Getting fresh air. Something I definitely like doing a lot. I love being around water on the lake or river, or personally, I like to be on the ocean, just getting that ocean air, being by the Jersey Shore. I definitely go on boats a good amount of time. I do like fishing, but it's definitely not a hobby. It's just like whenever I'm on a boat, might as well, you know, just throw a rod out, see what you can catch. Things like that, man, just being outside, enjoying the fresh air, taking it all in. I learned, like, again, in JUCO, just, you know, the moment, being the present, appreciate things for what they are, not, you know, honing on them. Bad things that happen are more lessons. So, you know, like, just taking one day at a time and, you know, enjoying the outside world. I mean, I do play video games, obviously, but it's more so whenever my buddies are on, like, invited and things like that. But, yeah, I just that's something I do on my free time, just enjoy the outdoors.
Absolutely, man. Look, last one for you, Antonio. When you look back on this process from high school to college and now in this NFL pre-draft process, when you roll over every single day and you put your feet on the ground and you just think about what is your why? And the reason why I ask players that is just you can get answers from all different types of players about different things in life, whether it's their mom, dad, sister, an uncle, grandparent. For you, Antonio, what is your why for every single day, that driving force to push you to be not only the best athlete that you can, football player that you can, but also the best man you can be every single day?
So, all right. So, for me, it's a grandparent. It's my grandmother. Yeah. You know, since I was a kid, I've always seen her work really, really hard. Until she got sick when she was 77, she still had two different jobs, and she would take the bus like 30 or 40 minutes to go to work at 77. She had like two knee replacements. She already had two open heart surgeries, and wow, she still went to work every day. So that was something that, like, especially now, you don't see. I feel like generations are getting a bit softer. And, you know, I feel like I don't see a lot of people, you know, like really, really working to make sure, you know, the family was good like that. And she was the first person out of the family to come to the United States in the 1930s, out of our family from Dominican Republic. And she worked extremely hard to become a nurse. And she bought a nice house in Newark, New Jersey, and slowly began to bring her siblings and cousins over to the United States as well. She worked her entire life to make sure our family was good, and working up until the day she couldn't anymore. I called her, the name I called her was Bia. My family's Spanish, and I couldn't say abuela when I was younger. So that was just what came out of my mouth, was Bia, and ever since then, that's what stuck. So what I used to tell her was, this is a big thing of my why, is I don't really remember when I started saying it, but I used to say, Bia, you just have to make it and be there until you see me walk across the stage when I get drafted. And, you know, all with that being said, it was kind of crazy how things were kind of unfolding, you know, me going to Alabama and seeing that happen. Because, you know, when I said that, I was a child, and, you know, I was seeing kind of what I was saying unfold to come true. And that was my idea of letting her know that I was going to be able to take care of us now, and that we were going to be okay. She could stop working so hard. I wanted her to see me win a Super Bowl and become a world champion at the highest level. But unfortunately, all things don't go the way we want them. God has different plans. But I know she wouldn't want me to give up, and I know she'll be happy looking down, seeing me accomplish everything I've dreamed of doing and told her I wanted to do. So, yeah, that's my why, man. That's something that definitely keeps me going every day. That definitely makes me look forward to accomplishing my goals and you know, playing at the highest level. And you know, God blessing me, hopefully, to contribute to helping my team win a Super Bowl, man. That's something I've dreamed of since, man, I don't even know. I can't even tell you when I had the dream and started playing football. I mean, I guess I was 6 or 7. And, since I put the pads on, that was it, man. I think it was 8. When I was 8 years old, that was when the New York Giants upset the 17-0 New England Patriots. Yeah. And that was all she wrote, man. I was like, man, I'm going to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to get to the NFL, and I won the Super Bowl. And, yeah, that's something I've always wanted to do. That's something I told my grandmother I was going to do, and I'm going to make sure that I hold to it and I keep persistent and I make it happen by any means necessary.
All right, guys, that's my conversation with Antonio Alfano, defensive lineman from Lackawanna College, JUCO kid, and you flat out know what you're going to get, guys, from a kid that you heard Antonio talk about. You get it out of the mud a little bit at the JUCO ranks. You know, he's number one overall recruit, guys, in the 2019 class. You look it up right now. If you just search 2019 football recruits on 247, Antonio Alfano is going to be right there at the top. Again, right next to Derek Stingley and Trayvon Walker, N'Kobe Dean, Spencer Rattler, all those names in the 2019 class, and he was at the top. Number one recruit in the entire United States of America in football coming out of school in 2019 in New Jersey. A little bit of a different route, right? A lot of guys have different stories. Obviously commits to Nick Saban's program in Alabama, goes to some different schools. And then obviously now in this pre-draft process, to where all it takes, guys, is one opportunity. And how many times in any other sport as well, to where it all takes is just one team saying, we're going to give this kid a shot and see what happens. And this is where stories start. You know, I think about the Jose Altuve stuff with the Houston Astros years ago with someone that's extremely undersized but continued to pop and their scouting games and all types of stuff. Every game that a scout went to, he continued to pop even though he didn't fit the mold of what typically teams had in a major league second baseman. Or look at it now, a guy like Antonio in the NFL to where, yeah, he's not at a Power 5 program. He's not at a Group of 5 program. He's not a Division 2 kid, Division 3 kid. But when you spotlight the type of talent that he has, the size, the length, the athleticism, and project that to an NFL defense where I'm not asking a team to come in and make him a number one edge or number one DT, but all it takes is one opportunity, guys, to come in and then the work starts. Because for a lot of these guys, they hear their names called day one, day two, day three, and then that's where they think the work ends. I got my money and I don't have to work anymore. We see, unfortunately, that happen to a lot of guys and they flame out at the NFL level. But those guys that are able to say, look, my name is now called, or I'm getting this opportunity and I'm coming into camp, that's where the work now just starts. You see stories like that seemingly every year from guys, whether it's the third round, the fifth round, the seventh round, or UDFAs every single year that make rosters across football. So my thanks goes out to Antonio Alfano. Again, if you guys haven't done a deep dive into his background, hopefully you guys got a good gist of where this kid came from, his mentality heading into the pre-draft process, pro day coming up here in these next few days in April. So pump for him here in these next few months. So as always, appreciate you guys tuning in. A lot more of these prospect interviews to come out here as we move closer and closer to the 2024 NFL Draft. As we sit here on March 25th, we are just a month away, guys, from the NFL Draft in Detroit. So exciting times. Again, my thanks to Antonio for joining me in his busy schedule. And as always, appreciate you guys tuning in. So if you don't follow me already, my work is on X at _RyanFowler and then on Bleach Report and the Draft Network as well. So as always, appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll talk to you soon. I'm Ryan Fowler, and this is Commanding the Huddle.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.